Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, August 6th, 2025. I'm Lever Bartis in the news tonight. Brian McDonald and John Mark Mankey in Ward 1 and Tony Zumlas and John Castleman in Ward 3 likely to face off in the November general election for Pullman City Council seats after yesterday's Washington primary. U.S. Justice Department includes Washington and Seattle on new list of sanctuary jurisdictions that Trump may target for losing federal help. And Western Washington's rainforest faces increased risk of megafires due to drought and climate change. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The U.S. Justice Department yesterday published a list designating Washington as a sanctuary jurisdiction, claiming the state impedes enforcement of federal immigration law. The Office of Washington Attorney General Nick Brown says state laws, such as the Keep Washington Working Act, do not conflict with federal law. Attorney General's Office spokesperson Mike Falk told the Spokesman Review, the Keep Washington Working Act keeps communities safe by preserving local law enforcement resources for enforcing state and local laws. It also builds trust between law enforcement and our immigrant communities. It does not conflict with federal law. Federal Attorney General Pamela Bondi issued a statement yesterday which claims sanctuary policies impede law enforcement and put American citizens at risk by design. Bondi wrote, the Department of Justice will continue bringing litigation against sanctuary jurisdictions and work closely with the Department of Homeland Security to eradicate these harmful policies around the country. The Justice Department quickly rescinded an initial list of 500 sanctuary jurisdictions it published in May after some of the jurisdictions on the list objected to their inclusion. The list in May included 35 counties in Washington, but the new list does not include any Washington counties, but it does include the city of Seattle. Yakima, Tacoma, Olympia, and Everett were on the list in May, but do not appear on the new list. Trump has threatened to cut off federal funding to jurisdictions that they classify as sanctuary jurisdictions, meaning they do not use local police resources to assist with ICE's war on immigrants. Republican U.S. Representative Michael Baumgartner of Eastern Washington and other members of the House Oversight Committee in March announced their plan to investigate the Keep Washington Working Act. Falk said yesterday the Attorney General's office responded to the committee's request for information in April and has not heard back from the committee. Western Washington's rainforests do not have fires every year like Eastern Washington. Instead, there are megafires every few hundred years, but climate change is changing the ecosystem's rhythms. Washington Natural Resources Department Forest Health Scientist Derek Churchill told the New York Times, it used to be that it really wasn't until mid-August that fuels dried out in western Washington. Now it's July or earlier. Fire researchers and safety officials are eyeing the Bear Gulch fire in the Olympic National Forest and Olympic National Park, which was 5,100 acres as of yesterday. Officials have ordered a number of campgrounds evacuated. The last megafire to hit western Washington was in the early 1900s. Ecologists are concerned about smaller fires in recent years, including a 2015 fire along the Queets River that burned 2,000 acres of the Olympic rainforest. Nature Conservancy Washington State Director of Forest Conservation Kyle Smith said recent fires, such as the Queets River fire, in a location that normally receives as much rainfall as the wettest part of the state, as the wettest part of the Amazon, are of concern. There is some forest health work in Washington that can help. Churchill said workers restore streams and remove invasive species so trees don't have as much competition for water, making them less vulnerable to drought. Washington State Chief Forester George Geisler said, "The big fires that have occurred in the past are fires we can't fight." Geisler said planning instead includes identifying high-risk places to protect and spots where workers need to create wide fire breaks. He said, "The biggest challenge we have is folks believing it could never happen here. The hardest thing to do is to get people to realize they're part of it." The University of Idaho has received a $1.4 million three-year grant from the National Science Foundation to fund 9 doctorate-level researchers training in wildfire science. The recipients will pursue doctoral degrees in their choice of bioinformatics, environmental science, or water resources. Their studies will include fire physics, fire mitigation, and forest regeneration, with an additional focus on strengthening the wildfire resilience of rural communities. The recipients are expected to conduct wildland fire science research under the guidance of the University of Idaho research faculty, with the option to earn an environmental education and science communication graduate certificate at the university's McCall Outdoor Science School. In a news release, Department of Forest, Rangeland, and Fire Sciences Associate Professor and the grant's co-principal investigator Jessica Meisel said, "Wildland fire is inherently complex. It can have catastrophic impacts on human communities, yet it also is an essential natural disturbance in many types of ecosystems. Understanding fire requires an interdisciplinary scientific approach, as well as close partnerships between scientists and land managers to develop practical and effective management solutions. The challenges of living with fire will not go away during our lifetime, but this award will help prepare future professionals with the knowledge and skills needed to create practical solutions." A wildfire at the Washington State University Cook Agronomy Farm burned nearly 200 acres of standing grain and canola yesterday afternoon. Collaboration between the Moscow Rural Fire Department, Whitman County Fire District 4, Pullman Fire Department, and the Washington State Department of Natural Resources contained the fire after an hour. A wheat truck caught fire and flames spread to the field. This is the second wildfire at a WSU research farm within a week. A combine caused a 4-acre fire at the WSU Spillman farm on July 29th. It's still up in the air which two candidates for Whitman County Commission Position 3 will advance to the November general election. In the three-way race for the seat, Republican Chad Wetzel, who has held the seat since he was appointed in March to replace Michael Largent, is leading in yesterday's primary with 1,288 votes. He's way ahead of the other two candidates, Cody Finch, who has 466 votes, and Tucker Center, who has 428 votes. Finch lists his preference as the Conservative Party, and Center lists as a Republican. With a 38-vote difference between Finch and Center, it's likely the second-place finisher won't be determined until more votes are counted. The Whitman County Elections Office estimates there are 100 ballots remaining to be counted countywide. The Elections Office will release the next count on Friday afternoon. The winner in the November general election will join Art Swanick and Tom Handy, both Republicans, on the Board of County Commissioners. Because Washington is a top two primary state, only races with three or more candidates were on the ballot in yesterday's primary. The top two vote-getters will advance to the November general election. It's likely that Brian McDonald and John Mark Mankey will face off in November for the Ward 1 Pullman City Council seat up for election this year, and Tawny Zumlas and John Castleman will face off in November for the Ward 3 Council seat. In the crowded seven-way race for the Ward 1 Pullman City Council seat, which mainly represents the western part of the city, Brian McDonald is leading with 430 votes, and John Mark Mankey is second with 390 votes. Bobby Bennett Walcott is third with 208 votes. James Pitzer is fourth with 187 votes, and Randy Cross is fifth with 161 votes. Cindy Kothan Daraman and Holly Greystone are tied for last place with 31 votes each. In another crowded race, this time for the Ward 3 Pullman City Council seat, Tawny Zumlas is leading with 203 votes, and John Castleman is second with 169 votes. Carl Olson is in third place with 135 votes. Shay Ortega is fourth with 86 votes, and Colin Bannister is fifth with 18 votes. The 6th through 8th place candidates, Michelle Johnny Utsman, Dave Gibney, and Federico Bartolo, each received less than 10 votes. Ward 3 council members represent the southern part of the city. In the race for Pullman School Board District 4, Dina Bayumi is leading with 1,261 votes, and Hannah Martian is in second place with 831 votes. Ben Emerson is in third place with 516 votes. In the race for Pullman School Board District 5, Brandon Kruger is leading with 849 votes, and Amanda Tanner is second with 610 votes. Tina Edwards is third with 51 votes. Under Washington election law, mail-in ballots that are postmarked by Election Day will be counted even if they do not arrive at election offices until after Election Day. The Tuesday night results could change later this week or even next week as election officials count newly arrived ballots. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report on KRFP Moscow Pullman. Voters in the city of Spokane yesterday approved a $15 per year tax for maintaining clean groundwater in the Spokane County Aquifer Protection Area. 74% of city voters were in favor. The city of Spokane had left the protection area 20 years ago after most homes with septic tanks in the city connected to the city sewer system. The city council opted to put the tax measure on the August 5th ballot this year. Spokane City Council President Betsy Wilkerson said, "With all of the division in the world right now, I think we can all agree clean drinking water is something we need." Spokane County spokesperson Pat Bell told the Spokesman Review, "With the city once again part of the protection area, funding for groundwater protection efforts will increase from $1.3 million to $2.8 million per year." In other primary news, progressive Spokane City Council member Zach Zappone will face Christopher Savage in the November general election. In the three-way primary this week, Zappone had 51.4% of the vote as of last night, and Christopher Savage had 29.2%. The third-place finisher was Cody Arguelles, who had 18.9% of the vote. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow Pullman area, it's calling for 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 8 p.m. tonight, mostly cloudy, low 52, up to a quarter inch of rain possible, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms. Tomorrow, 60% chance of precipitation, showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm. Cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high of 71. West winds 5 to 10, gusts up to 20. 20% chance of showers before midnight Thursday night, partly cloudy, low 46. And sunny Friday, high 76. Currently 69 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscast you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP. Be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business or nonprofit supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option and a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis, David Katz, assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman. Flashpoints coming up at 6:30. And at 7:30, Lockdown Mosh Pit. At 8:30, music begins in earnest with Grateful Dead Through the Decades, hosted by Arlene. At 10 o'clock, music or Sounds of the Future. And that goes 10 to 11 tonight. And at 11 o'clock, Bob Slacktime Funhouse. So stay tuned for more entertainment, music, and information throughout your evening here at KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored by listeners like you and by Palouse Prairie Charter School, an EL Education accredited expeditionary learning model school serving students in northern Idaho. PPCS is a free public charter school that combines hands-on learning, rigorous academics, outdoor adventure, and character development. PalouseProairieSchool.org. Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by Moscow Contemporary, which connects, supports, and creates community through art and arts education. Moscow Contemporary is located at 2012 West Pullman Road and moscowcontemporary.org.